Hey guys, we're the Hard Time Strongman podcast, cheering up a better class of man. And today we are excited. We are happily introducing a new schedule for the show.
Hey.
So I think we teased this a little bit. You guys won't hear about that for a couple weeks now. But we are buckling up and we are starting our new series as of this Saturday, where we are going to be running week by week, not new subjects, but just our general genres, focuses for our episodes. We are tacking those down and we are making sure to attack those, to touch on those on a weekly schedule. So starting today, we will be starting with our martial tasks, our soldiering, our war fighting stuff, all the cool guy stuff and things, equipment, tactics, organization, just different things in that realm. Following week, we'll hit our field craft, living, operating, doing stuff and things in the field. Then medical, then homesteading. We're just going to cast a wide, wide shadow. That's a huge net. And then we're going to attack up all of our, you know, our hanging series that we have so far. Remind me if I'm wrong. What I'm really only tracking right now is our Ranger Handbook of Bridge and the patrolling series, right? Or do we have something else up in the air?
As far as what? As far as that we haven't finished?
Yeah, just like hanging series so far.
Medical,
fieldcraft. Those will be covered under that. I guess we could run Ranger Handbook and patrolling under, you know, under Marshall.
Yeah. So, it's part of that.
That's what we'll end up doing, but
I feel like the Ranger Handbook abridged is like it's a monster.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I kind of want to have it be its own thing for a little while so we can still, you know, branch out and cover the things we want to cover. But regardless, today's the start of that. So we'll be, you know, you will see a pattern. You're not crazy. Or maybe you are. I don't know. But in this, you are not. Because we will be, you know, rolling through everything, trying to get out of, you know, some of the ruts that we've been digging for ourselves, where we're only focusing in, you know, hyperfixing on one or two different subjects. We're going to try to broaden out the podcast more for you guys so that we can just have structure and be focusing on all the other cool stuff that we're doing, like the guides and the book and everything else. So
it's so much fun.
It's so much, but it is going to be a blast. Actually, I have something to cover in the meeting in the post show today. Remind me of that. But today we are going to talk about handguns.
Pew 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 pew.
America, we got really good reception on the shotgun episode, so I wanted to, you know, push out. I saw where your head went at. Screw you. That is not where I was going with that. Dang.
Oh, no.
All the other kids
you said something.
Pumped up kicks. That is not where I was going with that. Just handguns in general, America.
I was until you mentioned, and then I went to a dark Kurt Cobain place.
Any hoozle. So handguns, rifles, long rifles. Expect more of that. But
yes, I love it.
Yeah, today, peacemakers, pistols, sidearms, shooting iron, Saturday night special, devil's right hand, whatever you call it. That's what we're covering today.
Skin in that smoke wagon.
Hell yeah. Reference today, regretfully, the BTFE for a definition. That's all they're good for. So
the ATF. Anyway,
that is always the overarching theme of the podcast. But the term pistol, when we talk about pistol, we mean a weapon originally designed, made, and intended to fire a projectile, a bullet, from one or more barrels when held in one hand and having a chamber as an integral part of or permanently aligned with the bore, and a short stock designed to be gripped by one hand at an angle to and extending below the line of the bore.
There are some very interesting designs. Yeah. Based on that first definition, there's some very interesting designs that I can remember just the top of my head. I think you did cover some of them.
Did you see the Alien? I think that's what it was called.
Alien.
I think that's what it's called. I don't remember. It's a newer handgun, but the slide doesn't move. I think that's what. Weird. I think that's what it's called. Let me look it up.
Yeah, you'll have to look that up. No, there was one that I was.
Yeah, by Lago Arms, the Alien pistol. It is just a interesting handgun. Yeah, okay, fixed barrel. That's what it was. And it has such a wicked low center of gravity. Like, it is just a really interesting piece.
It was Brax in the world. Okay. So the slide doesn't move.
The barrel doesn't. I'm trying to remember what it looks like when you shoot it, because it's such an interesting gun.
So it's got a fixed barrel. So the slide does move, barrel just does. So basically what it is it's a ripoff of the Staccato.
I mean, what is a ripoff of anything? I mean, everyone's ripped off of Glock at some point.
That is true. But with the Glock, the barrel ends up canting so that the round can eject.
Right.
The Staccato just sits there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's what was weird about it. So it's like the frame, it's like the slide is sandwiched in between the frame. So there's a frame on top and a frame on bottom that doesn't move. So it just, I don't know, it's just, it's very interesting. Very cool.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, now I'm seeing where the barrel, that is weird.
Isn't that odd? Yeah. But I mean, that's why I'm talking about handguns. And we'll talk about that later in the episode. It's just, you know, why handguns have sticked around. It's just the innovation, like, it's getting narrower and narrower, but they're just so freaking cool.
Yeah.
But a little bit of the history of handguns. So we're just going to touch on the, you know, the big picture innovations, you know, zero to nothing. And then we'll pick up from there. But the literal hand cannon, China 1288. It was a cannon that somebody made smaller. Handheld. So freaking cool. Could you imagine? I think it was like 14 inches long. Like, you imagine just someone rounding a corner with that thing? No.
Yeah.
I love it.
I can remember diving on the history of, like, firearms and seeing some of the crazy stuff that they came up with in the beginning. And then looking at what we got now, it's like, how do we eventually get here? What's the thought process? Yeah. I would love to pick the brain of some of the designers just to see how they came up with this stuff. Granted, now, not much changes. I love when some of these manufacturers come out and say, oh, yeah, it's revolutionary. It's turning the industry on its head. It's like, it's the same freaking thing that we had for the last, what, 60 years now?
Well, and that's what I would love to see. Technology
changed.
See, that's what I would love to see from, you know, these big manufacturers is, you know, whenever they have these expos and they, like, release these new, you know, whatever, these new pistols, these rifle, you know, whatever, just be like, hey, we didn't reinvent the wheel, we just made this better. And no one else is making this as better than we are right now. Like, just right. That honesty would be really refreshing.
Exactly. That would be the best case scenario.
I'm so tired of hearing unprecedented or cutting edge or revolutionary. Like, I hate buzzwords. Just like tell me, hey, like we hate this one thing and we spent a stupid amount of money making this really good. It's like, okay, I can appreciate that.
Whatever. Right. So next would be the matchbox. This is a mid 15th century pistol. It's the first mechanism invented to facilitate firing a handheld firearm. If I remember right.
The OG.
Yeah, it is the OG. Oh my gosh, these are terrifying. Like, ugh. These action guys back in even the freaking 30 years war. So,
that's another thing. Like, researching the history of these, like, the history of warfare is freaking horrifying.
It is.
Like, think about that. Can you imagine literally someone shooting a 50 cal at you, smoothbore? Like, if getting your arm ripped off doesn't kill you, the infection later will. Or someone amputating because they don't know how to freaking fix it. Like, just.
Well, weren't some of those muskets even, I know we're on guns, but weren't some of those muskets even like 75 cal at one point?
I think so, yeah.
Or might have something else.
Well, I mean, think about a blunderbuss, dude. Just like, oh crap, I ran out of shot. Here, let's put some forks in it. Or hey, I have some gold coins. We're not using it, right? Just shove that down the barrel. Let's see what happens. Like, screw that, dude.
That's crazy, dude.
Improving on the design, developed around the 1500s, the wheel locks. First self-igniting firearm. The mechanism they use is like a Zippo or a Bic lighter wheel. You go, tick, tick, tick. Same idea. But on a handgun.
And then we get even simpler. As far as this goes, even simpler than the wheel lock was the flintlock pistol developed in the 1700s. This thing, if you've ever played around with a fire starter, you know, it's a piece of metal and flint, and you freaking strike them together and it shoots sparks. Well, that's the same principle that happened with the flintlock. You pull the trigger. This hammer came forward with a piece of flint on it and struck a piece of metal that was basically a cap over top of some. Oh my God, why am I blanking here? So, on top of some powder. And once the flint hit, it flipped it up, also shooting straight down into the powder, into the gunpowder, which would then ignite them. You hope, as long as the powder wasn't wet. Which would then go into the chamber. And
it is not a heavy wind if your flint is still in the catch. You have to realize how freaking cool this was.
Yes.
Because
it's cool today.
The first reliable firearm.
Yes.
Right? Because wheel lock, complicated. Mm-hmm. Flintlock, literally, it's flint in the hammer. Drop the sucker down. Makes your sparks, off you go. Mm-hmm. This was huge.
Like, it was massive.
This was absolutely massive. But moving on from that, mid 19th century cap locks.
Yeah.
So this introduced the percussion cap. It was easier to load, more resistant to weather, and of course more reliable than the flint locks.
Way more reliable.
This is also where we start getting more like the the big discoveries, the big investments start getting narrower and narrower. You know, we're starting to really, you know, kind of focus in. It's like, oh crap, this works. You know, this is going to be it. So that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to me anyways.
This is where we start getting the basics down. Percussion caps are still used essentially today. Used like the great, 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 great grandson of these Christian cats today. But no, like, you're right. Compared to the flock, where if your powder got wet, if you were like a pirate, your powder got wet, you're, that load is useless. Absolutely useless. You have to find some dry powder to even fire that thing.
This, so you have a really cool hammer.
Yeah, you have a very, very cool like skull pecker. This thing limits that completely, and it's awesome. So then, this is where we get to the fun stuff. This is where my ultimate love ends up coming about, as far as pistols go. The revolvers. 1836. Samuel Colt. A great...
God bless.
Samuel Colt. This produced the Colt Patterson, the first practical revolving cylinder handgun, all known as the revolver. And
which is
exists to all these westerns. It exists to,
I was gonna say, so iconic.
Oh god, it just opened up so much. Like, I'm sitting here, it's like I want to start talking about everything, but it's like I want to go in order. But at the same time, you just so much that I don't want to like leave anything, but I can't even do it. I feel like I could do an entire like series on revolvers and history.
Well, the thing is, right? So what I say? I said flintlocks was like the first time we were like, oh crap, like this is it. Like here we go. We're rolling. Revolvers changed history.
Oh yes.
You're talking about one firearm.
Mm-hmm.
That 100 years made you better than six men. Yes. Bam, 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 bam. Like, dude, like this was insane.
Yes.
What you could bring to bear now. Absolutely insane.
Right. Yeah.
Like
this period was.
And there are so many iterations.
Yes. Well, it's like Samuel Colt. In this time period. Like there's two firearms that hold the title of the gun that won the West. The first is the Winchester Model 1873 repeating rifle. The other is the Colt freaking Peacemaker.
Hmm. Yeah.
But the Peacemaker was a legendary revolver.
Single action army. That thing is.
Take a look.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous. But yeah, that's the first thing that, you know, I thought about it. Like the gun that won the West.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, it is. Yeah. Revolvers, man. Like you said, I could nerd out on those all freaking day.
I know. Hold it. Select army. Just go take a look. It's, yes.
Oh. A thing of beauty. But then we have another big leap, 1896, with semi-automatic pistols with the Mauser C96.
Oh.
And from here we start getting back in, you know, we start getting into handguns as, you know, contemporary, most everyone else knows, like the innovations, the designs obviously changed a lot, and you know, we make huge improvements, then minute improvements, but you know, this is where we just start, you know, seeing what we know with, you know, box magazines and just up and up and up.
I was gonna say Mauser was the one with the internal magazine, right?
So, I had the box magazine in front, but I also had like the broom handle looking grip.
Right.
It's like, you know, the stereotypical, you know, evil genius, bad guy, German handgun.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Also, basically, what Han Solo's pistol was based off of, more or less.
Oh, you know what, son of a...
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, but a scope on top of that.
Neat.
Mm-hmm.
Neat. I like that. I like that a lot.
And that brings us to another revolutionary design. 1916 machine pistol, the Sayre M1912. This is a ugly looking gun, absolutely ugly. But here's a machine pistol.
What do you say?
It was a machine pistol. And that, I mean, yeah. It was pretty much modern semi-automatic pistol.
Yep, had the stock, had... What, the whole bit? It didn't really do well, because, I mean...
No.
You have to reload, so... But good idea. We built on later. And now we have, was it the Glock 80 with, like, you know, the 50 round drum magazine?
Yeah.
You know, life finds a way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that thing is just absolute butt ugly. Machine pistol M12, Patrone 16.
Be kind. It's a
machine pistol.
You know, it's a pioneer.
Yeah,
in the space.
I mean, it did come semi-auto, but it also came as a machine pistol. So it's,
yeah,
that's some
beautiful thing. And then last big push, at least what I have down in our show notes are 3D printed handguns. The Liberator from Defense Distributed, May 6, 2013.
I mean, there's a lot of developments in between there, including the 1911, the Glock.
Oh, dude. I mean, 1911, the Glock, HK, stuff. Like, so many. Yeah. So many. You know, like we said, just refining. Just mm-hmm. refining the design. You know, good innovation, good improvements. But
right. This is the next true leap in design.
There's no, like, paradigm shifts.
Right.
And there's no real paradigm shift with a 3D printed handgun, but the fact that you can build this in your freaking house.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can. Give it a day.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was the whole thing. After May 6, 2013, gun laws stopped mattering. Anymore. They stop being relevant. Because you can order a 3D printer, download a file because it's on the internet, and you can have a functioning freaking handgun. Like, obviously you need, you know, little parts, but that was the whole point of the Liberator, is that you can source this stuff.
Yes. Like,
you can source this at a hardware store or a Sidemart or whatever. And yeah, it's in the name, Defense Distributed, the Liberator. Like, this is, this was huge. That's why I threw it on there, is that, you know, gun laws don't matter anymore. Like, you cannot stop the internet. Like, it's out there. You can't pull it back.
And if you're not up to speed, if you've been living under a rock for the last, I don't know, 12 years near, you can now 3D print four-barrel rocket launchers. You can now 3D print grenade launchers. You can 3D print mortar tubes. You can 3D print actual mortars. You can 3D print rockets. Like, there is,
dude, SMGs, no like limit. Full rifles.
Yes. Yes. There are no limits that you can 3D print right now.
Well, and the thing is, like, they tried so hard to discredit. It's just like, oh, this thing's going to blow up in your hand. We are so far past that. Like,
mm-hmm.
No. Like, there are files. I have files for, like, full ARs. You can.
The only way things blowing up in
throw your together.
And number one, your powder load's wrong. Number two, you use the wrong freaking material to print the thing. And that's you.
Yeah. But just as a scare tactic, it's, you know, it's over. No. It's there's right. Too much out there now.
Yeah. So that brings us to types of firearms. So we have your common, your niche types. So you have your muzzleloaders, niche, your break actions, your bolt actions, which is so crazy. A bolt action pistol, like.
Well, people hunt with handguns.
I know.
Which is crazy.
I would hunt with, I don't know, a revolver, a Glock, something like that. But, you know, so
works for snipers.
Muzzleloaders. Yeah. Muzzleloaders, break actions, bolt actions, revolvers, semi-automatics, full automatics. I'm just trying to think some more.
But... Super action. Game's all here.
Yeah, game's all here. Yeah. This podcast is sponsored by Blackbeard Firestarter. Blackbeard Firestarter has been our first choice in Firestarters since they introduced their Firestarter rope years ago.
Blackbeard offers their Firestarters, their fire plugs, arc lighters, ferro rods, stormproof matches, everything you need to get a fire started.
Their products are made right here in the U.S., wind and waterproof, have an insane burn time. They're basically dummy proof.
And help you out, Blackbeard let us cherry pick from their store everything that we want, everything that we thought you needed to get a fire started, and we call it our Hard Time Strong Men Fire Kit. On top of that, they're also offering a 15% discount on anything in their store when you enter code STRONGMEN at checkout.
We can't recommend Blackbeard enough. They stand behind their products, and so do we.
Be sure to check them out at blackbeardfire.com and on Instagram at blackbeardfire. And as always, stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's, you know, we talked about that in the histories, but like, basically you can build it or you can have it.
Yes.
Rather.
Yes.
You know, it's a very, you know, pistols, handguns obviously have a very rich history, and so you can find pretty much anything in the wild.
Yep.
That's why it's important to have good weapons familiarization, being able to, you know, manipulate all of these, you know, different types of firearms. But leads us into common and uncommon calibers. So your 9mm, your 45, your 22. You threw 40 on there. 38, 380. Lord help me. 10 mil. 50, 357.
There was a ton.
You know, if you can throw 40 on there, I'm throwing 410 on there.
Yeah, screw it. Why not?
The governor exists.
There's a 44. There's so much. 45 long Colt.
I was gonna say 45 Colt, like, freaking kill me.
Ugh. Yeah, there's so much that's gone into round design as well, that the variants just outnumber seemingly the firearms that they're fired from. There's books upon books upon books about calibers and I don't know where I was going with that, but there's.
But typically, at least in the States, you're going to be mostly running into 9mm, 45, 22, 38 special.
And even over in you know, even over in the East, you're still looking at metro versions of these routes, you know.
And yeah, 9 mil is probably, you know, it's probably the most prevalent.
Yeah.
Worldwide, easily. Oh.
One that forgot to throw on there was the 7.
Oh, 357. Yeah.
No, not 357, but the 5.7.
Oh, 5. It's, you know, whatever. 5.7.
Scary 22 caliber on crack. Oh, but no. All these rounds, there's so many different purpose and use case for these. So the time you're going to be using these for self-defense, for hunting. Or the Second Amendment was designed for, which is your moral. You're defeating the tyrants. You're keeping the government in check kind of things.
Pretty much anything that you could use a firearm for, but smaller.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's exactly the reason why they stuck around, you know, the concealability. Right? You know, we are far away from, you know, flintlocks that you're like a, what, 9 inches a foot long of just straight gun. You know, now, and you've said this, you know, time and time again, firearms are the great equalizer. Handguns are the great equalizer. Now you're, oh, yeah, you know, 4 foot nothing girlfriend can have a 9 mil single stack lock in her purse, or, you know, carrying a holster or yoga pants or whatever. And if anything happens, God forbid, she has the same chance I have.
Yeah.
You know, is the same exact thing. You know, gun doesn't care how big you are, it can still kill you.
Exactly. No, a 90 pound chick can take down a 3 pound dude. Easy.
Well, especially pretty with, you know, we kind of mentioned it in with calibers, but just the science and the industry of what people have been doing with bullets, period, is outstanding. It's amazing to me. So companies like Hornady, you know, and probably everybody has their own, you know, favorite brand, you know, maker or whatever of handgun round, but
wrong.
Huh?
What?
But you know, the fact that something like Hornady exists, you know, Hornady Imperial Defense, where my little 9 mil round can make a cavitation like that all the way through somebody's, you know, freaking thoracic cavity and just tear everything in there apart. Or was it the G9 that just like shatters into like 7 or 9 different pieces?
Oh,
like it's just
like rounds.
Yeah, just like, you know, that's what I'm saying. God. But like, just what we can do with 9 mil, you know, it just kills any arguments for
it. Does,
you know, like it does not matter what round you have, you know, you are still meat and bones, and it will tear you the hell up. Handguns are a super effective, really efficient way of killing people.
I completely agree. And I to this day, I still think that one of the main reasons why handguns have stuck around so long, it's because of the fact that they're also basically glorified in movies and TV shows. I mean, good Lord, The Matrix. How many freaking handguns did they use in The Matrix? How many times?
Who knows?
Any Western, they pull out a whole Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Like,
or, dude, the 1911 is so iconic.
Yes. Yes. 1911. Hell of a round. Hell of a gun.
Hell of a life.
Yes. So, brings it to our little section of, you know, what we carry, what we use, our favorite.
Yay.
Scene. Why? So we're going to get into our daily carry, cache gun, or cache gun, car gun, our favorites, our wish list. So for me, my daily carry, I have to. It's the Takato XC, and that thing's loaded with Hornady critical defense plus E, because I'm gonna smack the loving piss out of you with a 9mm. It's awesome. Also, Staccato bags, and it's the flattest firing pistol out there on the market. And good lord, yes, this gun was a wedding present to me from my wife. And yes,
you're welcome.
Yes, yeah, thanks. I know you gave her the advice on it. It was either that or Nelly M4. And I'm happy that she went with the Staccato. My other is the Glock team again, loaded Hornady Critical Defense Plus, because why not?
There's no good reason not to.
There's really none. Might as well. My cache aid, car gun, stash around the house, guns are Glock 17. Again, Critical Defense Plus P. I've got Kimber come to 11 style. Again, Hornady. Well, this it's 45, so there's that. My favorite's obviously the Sato and Glock 19. I love them. I would like to put on there also my AR pistol that I built in 9mm, which is so much fun. So much fun. Man, you can put through some ammo real quick, that thing. Wishlist took her one of them with the Sato. Number two.
I'm looking at the Schofield right now. Lord.
Yeah, the number three Schofield. That thing, I'd love to have.
How much fun. It's a beautiful gun.
Oh, yes. Thing was featured in. Gun. I believe that was featured in Return to Yuma. I know it's been in the Red Redemption video games, but it was Top Beak, Archer's Revolver. Just beautiful. Beautiful. Just design.
Yeah. For me, daily is the Glock 17. Also the Hornady Critical Defense Plus B, because just screw you. I used to just have the critical defense, that I saw the plus B and I just like compared the two rounds. I was like, oh, that's insanity. Like,
yeah,
who decided to do this? Like, it's just funny. It's comical. Cause just screw you. You're going to die. Like, it's beautiful round. Cached my, you know, in the house car guns, my just several Glock 19s, just cause it's, pretty ubiquitous. Everyone knows how to use a Glock, and you know, my wife's training on a Glock, family's training on a Glock, so it's easy. I don't have to worry about it. All my magazines talk with each other. I can crossload everything, so simple for me. Also have in the kitchen my Colt 1911, just because it's a freaking cool gun, and I didn't want it to be a safe queen, so. Favorites for me, obviously, Glock. I use it all the time. It's my carry gun. I carry it every day. I also have my Colt 1911, just because that's a bit of history that I really appreciate. And it's just a slick gun. I got good at it a long time ago. So
truly,
it's fun. And then the 22, rear 22. Just, yeah, I just love the quiet.
Little,
and yeah. 22s are very underutilized. It's really fun gun to have the kids shoot too. They like that.
Oh yeah, it's a great gun to train kids up on. It really is.
Absolutely. And then wish list for me, the Colt Single Action Army Peacemaker. Like, that's just a beautiful, beautiful firearm. And once again, just another piece of history. I love Colt. Love what he's done for. Yeah, I love what he's done with the place. So just having that would just be a fun gun to, you know, just shoot and to have and, you know, to teach the kids up on. Also, the Smith & Wesson Governor, it was their improvement on the Taurus Judge, but fires either the 45 or a 410 shot, which is just insanity to think that you're shooting a freaking, you know, shotgun shell out of your revolver. So cool.
Right.
And absolutely on my bucket list, I will not compromise not having a pair eventually. I want a pair of dueling pistols. Flintlocks, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd kill for that. So much fun. Cause I mean, imagine like your last stand just blowing someone in half with a freaking 50 cal flintlock. Screw you. It's beautiful. What? Yeah.
Screw your wrist, you know. Firing one of those things.
I mean, what a way to go though. Could you imagine? Be worth it at that point. And they're just classy. They're just classy. Like, you remember them in, what was that? What was the 007 movie? Was it? God, I forget the movie. The dude took the cyanide pill. His, you know, his bone structure got all jacked up. M dies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was
That was,
what was it? The Spectre? No.
No, it was before that. It was, oh my god.
You know what I'm talking about, though, on the island.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Gorgeous.
I mean, I can
but, oh, yeah.
Oh, I get it. Like, that was nice. That was an interesting way of doing that. I'm sure we made it another round of sides or a 50 cal, but why not, you know? 50 cal ball.
Absolutely. If you're going to do it, just go. Just go for it. You know?
Yeah, it was the one after Casino Royale. What was that?
Anyway, you have anything else?
Grab me. Not really. Yeah, really. We covered a mass amount of history. Could nerd out some of our favorites.
Yeah, I mean, and we didn't even get into, you know, like carrying or, you know, anything like that. But, you know, I mean, we're not really digging into, you know, fundamentals of carrying or marksmanship or any of those kinds of developments, but just the platform itself, you know, has been huge. You know, it's equaled, you know, it's the great equalizer. It's leveled the playing field, and just the force that someone can bring to bear now, just on their person.
Yeah.
You know, on their belt is crazy.
And the Bond movie you're talking about was Skyfall.
Skyfall. I knew there was an S in there. Thank you.
Highest Skyfall. Grossing Bond movie to date.
I don't doubt that whatsoever. It was a great film.
That was a fantastic film. But no, this, what period? I mean, obviously, I think I'd answer this, but what period was your favorite of all the pistol development years? It has to be the Sam Cole years, the revolvers.
I really want to say like 1700s with the flintlocks, but no, revolvers all the way. Mm-hmm. Like there's too much there. There's too much there. Like, oh,
mm-hmm. I think,
dude, you're talking about the Peacemaker. Like, give me a freaking break. Like,
no.
Mm.
For sure. Besides modern times, the only other time I would say is probably my favorite was got to be those. I mean, there was something he said about the flintlock, the glory age piracy. But yeah. I mean, Edward Teach, Blackbeard with a freaking burning wicks in his beard. No, like there's just something else about, you know, like White Earp and his brother and freaking Doc Holliday
with their whole Doc Holliday. Give me a freaking
dude. Still one of my favorite movies of all time, Tombstone.
That's a pivotal film.
If you have not seen it, go freaking watch Tombstone. Awesome film.
Yeah, but yeah, Revolver's for me, for sure.
Yes, great, same. But no, that's all for this one, man. It was a fun little episode.
That's all, folks. Yeah, it was. I had fun with it. I enjoy these. But guys, that's all we had for you. Thank you so much for listening again. Like we said, we are kicking off our new schedule now. So this was our first Marshall schedule, or first Marshall episode on the new schedule. Look forward next week to homesteading. We're going to be talking about Pioneer kits. But guys, today we talked about handguns, their history, the developments, the, you know, the highlights. If you don't have a handgun and you're able to, what are you doing? Fix that. We're in hard times. Hard times are ahead. So guys, we're the Hard Time Strongman podcast, training up a bear class of man. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight. Check out our Discord, where we talk about all of the topics that we talk about in our conversations, but in deep dive format. We have a lot of members on there of varying skill sets, of varying proficiencies, all talking about all these topics, sharing their experiences. So join today and help us expand our knowledge base.
And check out our Patreon. Our Patreon, outside of just backing up all of our episodes for when we eventually get canceled, our patrons get access to our exclusive episodes, our pre-shows, our post-shows, our little tidbits here and there that we aren't really supposed to talk about. We're also opening up all of these exclusive episodes for people to individually purchase. So you don't have to get tied into a tier in order to get all that content. You can dip your toes in a little bit, decide you like it, then come and join us on that. We're having exclusive conversations, and along with the Discord, we are just building that community, building that skill set, that mastery, these proficiencies. And this, outside of our sponsor, is what's keeping the lights on and keeping all of this information, all these classes rolling for you guys. So make sure to check out our Patreon. And one last thing, guys, the world is better with you in it. If you're feeling suicidal or if you're in crisis, dial 988 or reach out at 988lifeline.org to get help. Someone's always on the line. So if you need a lifeline, remember 988. Stay in the fight.
Stay in the fight.